You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. My name is Tom and today we're going through the second week of our series called Amazing Grace. If you weren't here last week, we kicked off this series and this series is basically us getting to know more about the grace of God. The goal of this series is for us to basically present or know a theological, biblical, and practical view of God's grace that will result in a deeper appreciation and experience of that very grace. Because oftentimes, when you talk about the grace of God, you know, we hear about it, we talk about it, or we've read about it, but a lot of times, limited ra ang understanding nato of what the grace of God is. A lot of times, when we think about the grace of God, it's something that we attribute to God every time we need something, help. Lord, help me in this area. Give me grace, Lord God. For example, again, you're trying to find a ride, nangita mong sakinan, kay gaulan, a pedicab, or an easy ride, and then lo and behold, nainaabot ng sakinan just for you, nakasakay ka. So you say words like, Lord, thank you, Lord God, thank you for your grace. Or anyone here, nga, you try to wake up early, like mga 7 a.m., or ka na mag-jogging mo, 5 a.m., but let's say you try to wake up early, then nakamatadyo ka sa alarm nimo. Okay, naka-join you guys friends nimo. Wala ka nag-promise-promise lang, but you actually did it. You say, Lord, thank you for your grace, Lord. Nakamata ko, Lord God. Okay, wala ko na late and all of these things. We usually attribute God's grace to whatever God does to help us out in a specific problem or situation para ma-fix ang problem. But grace is more than that. As we talked about last week, one division of grace is that it is the unmerited favor of God towards man. We highlight ang word unmerited. Meaning grace is something that God does for people out of His kindness and goodness, and it is something that man did not deserve or did not earn. In other words, no matter how good we think we are, the grace God gives to us is not because of our efforts. It's not because of our good deeds. But simply because God chose to give it for us. Kaya nga, unmerited, undeserved. Dili ta worthy mo receive ana. Now, from the first week, we talked about justifying grace. In justifying grace, we've learned that justifying grace is God's unmerited favor towards man to declare him righteous. That part of God's grace is that he used this grace to do something for us, and that is to declare us righteous. And how was this possible? Jesus. We were doing communion a while ago when we were trying to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. What he did for us is God's justifying grace for us. If it weren't for Jesus, kung wala si Jesus sa picture, we wouldn't experience this justifying grace. The term there, justifying grace, means to declare someone as righteous, holy, blameless, without fault, or without sin. So in other words, if you're a Christian, you're a believer here today, and you've been saved by Christ, you are righteous not because of your good deeds, but because God has saved you in Christ Jesus. And every time you do communion, every time you remember the sacrifice of Christ, think about that. That is God's justifying grace for you. Now, for a second week, we'll talk about sufficient grace naman. Because as I said earlier, oftentimes our view of grace is kanang naigibot si God para ma-rescue ta sa problema nato. But parang if you need an immediate answer. But if when we're experiencing a time of weakness or problems in our life, what if it doesn't go away right away? What if dili instant ang answer prayer ni God? Or what if God says, you know, di na ko tangtango na ang problema muna? Does it mean nga wala ang grace ni God right there and then? Does it mean nga God has forsaken us or left us and we're left our own devices to figure out how to survive? What is this sufficient grace that we're talking about here today? We're gonna learn through that. And if for that, can you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Chapter 12, verse 1 says here, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On the behalf of this man, I will boast. On my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Last verse, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for then I am weak, then I am strong. There's a bit of background on the book of 2 Corinthians before we unpack the passage we read a while ago. As with all, siguro, of Paul's letters or epistles, every time Paul would write something to an audience or to a specific person, it was always to address certain issues. Last week, when we talked about the book of Titus, it was to address the false leaders in Crete, the churches in Crete, where Titus was. In the book of 2 Corinthians naman, the problem here is that there were teachers naman, false teachers, who were claiming to be apostles. And again, the apostles were like Jesus' first five, kung sa basketball pa na, na Peter, sa James, sa John. And later on, Paul was added to them. He was to become the apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish world. And these people were trying to subvert his ministry and message. They were trying to contradict, trying to discredit Paul, basically. And Paul, throughout his ministry time, had succeeded in winning most of the congregation in the church of Corinth. But there was still a minority or a remnant that didn't believe Paul. So he wrote this letter to address the accusations against him. And in chapters 10 to 13, he pretty much puts emphasis of his apostleship, that he is an apostle. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 11, before chapter 12, Paul basically says or narrates what he has been through for the sake of the gospel, because he is an apostle. He says things like, you know, he has been shipwrecked 3 times, he has been whipped, beaten, imprisoned, he has experienced hunger, thirst, cold, or hot weather, he has been robbed multiple times, he has experienced a lot for the sake of the gospel, for Jesus' ministry and all of these things. And in verse 12, the chapter that we are in, the first part there, the first 6 verses, talks about Paul's religious experiences. Paul, being an apostle, received these revelations from God, which were so amazing that he was in danger of being proud of himself, being puffed up with pride, being conceited, and all of these things. Was grabbing na reveal ni God sa yada that he couldn't just share it to anyone. It's like if you were a journalist or a reporter or something, and you get a very special news or scoop or whatever you call it. Then wala ilang nakabalo, only you. And you know that this news that you have will be very important. Matrending kayo siya, kung i-post ni mo, kung ipabalim mo sa uban, and masikat ka and all that. And Paul could have fallen to that. But good thing, he did not. God did something in his life. As we're going to talk about sufficient grace, we're going to look into what happened to him, and we're going to look at what we can learn from his life, specifically in this area. So in verse 7, we see here na Paul says, so to keep him from becoming conceited, because he had all this revelation, he describes being lifted up. To keep him from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. So some key words there, the word thorn, messenger, and harass. Interestingly, Paul describes this thing that's trying to attack him or harass him as a thorn. The word thorn there roughly translates to a stake or a spike or a sharp object. So kumbaga sa Bisaya pa, to prevent Paul nga mudako ang ulo niya, nga parang balloon, it's like there's this thorn that popped that balloon, that destroyed that balloon of his pride to keep him grounded, to keep him humble, nga dili siya ma-conceited and ma-puffed up with pride. And he describes it as a messenger of Satan sent to him to harass. The word harass here is not just sometimes we say harass like, you know, kung haggard na kayo ka, feel so harassed. Okay, kung ikapoy na kayo ka, harass kayo karon. But the word harass there is pretty serious. The word harass there roughly means to beat someone with a clenched fist. Parang itumbag ni mo siya og ayo. It's the same word used to describe the soldiers who tortured Jesus. Remember Jesus who was beaten up, was flogged, who was tortured before he was crucified and died finally? That same word was used in what the Roman soldiers did to him. This word, harass. So si Paul was really experiencing something painful. Grabe siya ng harassment basically. Dili siya pleasant. Dili siya something ma brush off lang, easily lang. And in fact, in verse 8, Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this. Yung siya ni God, Lord, kuana ni Lord, tangtanga na ni siya ka thorn. And that reminds me that our default response, every time we're in the midst of something painful in our lives, something discomforting, something annoying or frustrating, our default response always can God is, Lord, remove it. Lord, take it away. Diba? For some of you, Lord, kuhan ang boss na ako, Lord God. Ready na siya para sa langit, Lord. Sige, Lord, kuhan na. Or kuhan na akong teacher, Lord. Or kaning manghud na ako, Lord. Okay na ako, my only child. Adi, bitaw, adi, punin na. But sometimes our default response is remove what is painful, what is annoying or discomforting in our lives. Lord, kwa, Lord. He says, he pleaded with the Lord, nag-plead siya that it should leave him. But the Lord God has an interesting response to Paul. It says here, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. But an interesting statement right there. Parang God could have said, just yes or no. Okay, I'll remove it, Paul. Or no, it just stays there. But God has an interesting way of answering. He says, firstly, my grace is sufficient. Now, we're going to look at those four words closely for us to understand those two lines. And we're going to look at the last one muna, as contrary to the first. That is weakness. What is Paul talking about here? Nga, ang power ni God made perfect in weakness. What's ang weakness ba niyo that we're talking about? Does this mean nga any struggle, any sin issue, ina na ba? Well, weakness here comes from the Greek word asphenia, which means want of strength, illness, suffering, calamity, or frailty. It's something disastrous that happens to a person. In fact, verse 10 gives us an insight of what kind these weaknesses are. It says here, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. In other words, when we say weakness in this specific context, we're not talking about a sin issue ni Paul. It's not like God told Paul, my power is made perfect in your lust, in your pride, in your arrogance, Paul. Or bad behavior ba? Like you eat too much, Paul, okay? Or you makikaway kay people. No, it's not sin issue. And it's not about bad behavior. The weaknesses that we're talking about here are roughly fit into these four categories. Insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Things beyond our control that happen to us, that we experience, that we feel attacked or overwhelmed, or again, harassed. These four things, these four categories, when we say insults, it could be when people mock you for your faith. They insult you. Yabag sa gitaw na mo, pagabot mo sa mga friends, uy, nanas, hallelujah, nanadiryo. Or si alive, alive, okay? Or if you're a guy, no, naka-porma mo, uy, pastor, nanadiryo si pastor. Mga Pinoy man. Or hardships, financial, health-wise, relational dysfunctions in your family that's beyond your control. You want it to be fixed na. Or persecutions. Mas worse pa sa insults. You are shunned. You're attacked. You're ridiculed for your faith. Or calamities. Natural calamities. Disasters like the one happened in Luzon this week lang when the Taal volcano happened. There were families displaced. Families affected by those things. All of these things can happen to us. And this is what we mean by weaknesses. Now, God says that in spite of these weaknesses, God says first, again, that His grace, His divine favor for us, which is unmerited and, again, undeserved for us, is sufficient. The word sufficient comes from the Greek word archeo, which means to be possessed of unfailing strength, meaning gabi ka kusgan, because it is sufficient for it to be enough. And it means to be strong, to suffice, to be enough. God is saying in that first line, my grace, my divine free gift and favor to you, out of my goodness and kindness, is enough. It is strong enough. Igo na niya siya. For that specific scenario ni Paul, nga is pleading to God, Lord, kwa ani? God says, akong grace, para ni mo, anong situation ni mo, enough na siya. And he says, my power, coming from the Greek word dynamis, ang power, means power, might, and strength, or power through God's ability. This is the same word we get the word dynamite, ang dunamis. And he says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. The word perfect there comes from the Greek word teleio, which means to bring to an end, to complete, fulfill, or accomplish. In other words, if you were to put it together, it means God's unmerited favor towards man is enough. His power is able to fulfill in moments of weakness. God says, akong grace nimo, enough na. Igo na siya para ng situation nimo, Paul. I know you're harassed. I know you're suffering. But my grace for you is still there. It didn't take away the problem, but there is this grace for you, which is sufficient, the sufficient grace. And my power is able to complete, able to fulfill. Igo na diyang power na ako. Even in moments of weakness, even moments of calamities, insults, hardships, and persecutions. That's what God is trying to convey or tell Paul in his answer. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, though we go through moments of weakness or times of suffering and hardship, if ever we felt abandoned or forsaken by God because wala na answer tong prayer immediately, we don't need to feel left out. Because even in the midst of these hardships, God's grace is still there. And that grace is sufficient. That grace may not be the grace that you want na pang remove sa problem right away, but that grace is there so that you will not be destroyed by that weakness, by that hardship or insult or calamity. Dili ka ma-destroy because God's grace is there for you. It's like if you were going to go on a marathon. Diba kung mag-marathon or dugay dyan nga jog, diba? You get tired, you get stressed, kapoint ill, you get thirsty or dehydrated or something. And for marathoners, they would always carry, you know, at least a bottle of water and some light snacks na guay, ganang pang energy lang nila or something. And they take in those things to keep their energy replenished. Because without it, luya jud sila. They won't be able to finish the race or the distance that nga makover nila for nga ginajag nila. The same thing with us, in times of weakness or hardship, God's grace is there to sustain us. That yes, it doesn't take away the problem right away, but it's there to help you endure, to help you persevere. If you're in that season, church, now you feel like you're going for a time of weakness, it's painful, it's discomforting, it may be confusing, know that God has not abandoned you. The fact that you are still standing, you're still holding on to your faith, you're still crying out to God and holding on to God means that His grace is still there. Pretty much at work and living and moving in your life. Even in the harshest of times, God's grace is present in our lives. That's what we mean by sustaining or sufficient grace. It is strong enough to carry you through. Now, two important questions as we go through this passage. So we've talked about what weaknesses Paul is talking about here. But two important questions we'll answer is, where do these weaknesses come from? Asa gikan ni mga problema giagi ni Paul? And it's important for us to know that because having the right viewpoint will help us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we might be led to easily conclude na akang Satan ni tanan ng gibuhat. Because Paul says that this thorn was given to him in the flesh and is a messenger of Satan to harass him. And true enough, Satan meant it for evil. But God let it stay. Kaning thorn in the flesh ni Paul. And for this specific context, it was to humble Paul, as he says in the first line, to keep him from becoming conceited. And lastly, it was to tell Paul about his grace. God was telling Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He wanted Paul to pretty much tap into the grace that God was giving him. He wanted Paul to rely on God for his strength, not on Paul's strength alone. So that being said, this means that God allows us to go through suffering. And what Satan designed for Paul to go from misery, kaya ganani Satan, ma-destroy si Paul, he doesn't care nga ma-humble si Paul. He's not doing this para ma-humble si Paul, para di siya ma-conceited. He wants Paul to be conceited. He wants Paul to be destroyed or to end in his ministry. But what Satan meant for evil here, God wanted to make Paul humble and turn him away from self-exaltation. So God appointed this thorn of Satan for the work of salvation. But the enemy, what Satan meant for evil, God turned it around and meant it for good. And this leads to the second question we're going to answer. What's the purpose of all of these moments of weakness that we encounter? Why do we encounter these things? Like in Paul's case, what was the whole point of that? Now you see, there are three main viewpoints when we talk about going through trials or going through bad things in our lives. The first viewpoint says that all bad things come from the devil. Like for example, you have an alarm clock, you need to wake up early in the morning for your 7 a.m. class, or you need to get to work early in the morning. Wala ka mata. Okay, so you say, ang devil jud ani, wala akong gipukaw sa akong 7 a.m. alarm. Even though yung nag-binge-watch ka K-drama last night, okay, imong sala na ito. But we say, that there's a view that all bad things come from the devil. So the response typically is, we resist, we rebuke them. We cancel out, remove it, all that. But if problem persists, it means that you're lacking faith. Maybe you prayed for financial provision, or you prayed for a miracle or something, but it didn't happen right away. You might think, kulang kayang faith na ako. Layo pa kayang faith na ako. So you try to muster as much faith as you can. The second viewpoint that many people have is that all bad things come from God. And it's not because God wants to banish or it's not out of evil, but rather is to teach us, to humble us, to discipline us. Much like what happened to Paul here. And our response typically is to accept our circumstances and pray for the patience to endure them. So every time something bad happens to us, Lord, ikaw ang Lord, you're teaching me something, Lord God, right now. I need to endure it, all of these things. And the implication here is that the problem persists, you haven't yet learned your lesson. So if the problem is still there, parang, Lord, I still missed it out. Wala yung panakala learn, Lord God. So you try to learn as much as you can, gapon. But it's actually a third viewpoint. And I believe this is what happened to Paul. And this is what we can learn from this passage. And that is all bad things come from the devil, but are allowed by God to transform you into the image of His Son. That the enemy, the devil, meant it for bad, meant it for evil, but God in His sovereignty allowed it to happen. And we may not always know outright why God will allow certain things to happen in our life. We cannot fathom the wisdom of God. He's above our own wisdom, our own understanding. But because of His sovereignty, He allows certain things to happen. And part of that reason is that it is to transform us or mold us into the image of His Son, to make us more Christ-like, to teach us still, to discipline us still. And so our response is to resist and rebuke the enemy when bad things happen to us, when we are persecuted, insulted, hardships, natural disasters, unlikely cases of illnesses that's happening all around us. We resist, rebuke the enemy, but we also allow God to conform us. While we resist the enemy, we rebuke the enemy, we also ask God, Lord, what you're teaching to me in this moment naman? What are you trying to impress on me? Or what are you trying to mold me into in this moment? And so, but this implies that God causes all things to work for His glory and our benefit. That nothing escapes the sovereignty of God. That God is not caught off guard when bad things happen to us. It's not like when bad things happen to us, God's like, patay, unsaon na ako ni? This guy is suffering now. Now what do I do? Wala ko'y grace pang tabang niya. No. God is fully in control. God is sovereign. He lets these things happen. Now I'm going to share three important points still of the benefits of moments of weakness. As we go through these things, and you might think, may benefit ang mag-go through moments of weakness? I mean, no, it's just pain. It's just discomfort. Yes, it's all of that. It's discomforting. It's painful. But there are, again, reasons why God allows us to go through moments like these. Yes, we resist, rebuke the devil, but God allows these things to happen to transform us. And the first point here that I want to share is that moments of weakness prevents us from being conceited, much like Paul. Okay, it prevents us from being conceited. Now, you might think na, wala namang grabbing a revelation, gatag si God na ako, like Paul, nga parang na-lifted up na ako. I won't be conceited. But there's the thing, those weaknesses that we're talking about, and again, not sin issues or bad behavior, but insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. You see, if we were able to solve these things outright, immediately, you're able to handle insults, hardships, persecution, calamities so quickly because of your resources, your smart thinking, pagka-discarte nimo, your talents, abilities, you would think na parang it's all because of you. Ikaw ang bida. If you're able to handle all problems on your own, you wouldn't need to go to God. You wouldn't need to pray to God. You would just say, good job, maayos kang tao. Okay? Just give yourself a pat in the back. I mean, think about it. But sometimes we forget even to pray to God. When things are going well, when there's no major problem at home in our lives, sometimes we forget to just go to God, to pray to God, to spend time with God, to commune with God. And oftentimes when bad things happen to us, yet I remember, nade ko yung Ginoo in the first place. Parang oftentimes, we treat God as this parang fire hydrant. In case of emergency, pray to God. Okay, activate prayer life. We often do that. Moments of weakness prevent us from being conceited, from being, believe kita sa self na to. Parang, grabe ko ka smart. Apa na problema, kaya na ako ni. Sometimes we get so self-reliant, especially when we've overcome a certain problem before. Akabulo na ko ni, na-learn na ako ni, kaya na ako ni ma-overcome, I can do this. But just like Paul, to keep him from being conceited, he had that moment of weakness, that thorn was in his flesh. And God did not take it away immediately. Secondly, moments of weakness draws us closer to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, 3 times, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. 3 times, Paul pleaded, asking God. The word pleaded there comes from the word parakaleo, which means to personally make a call. And again, this was a time and place, wala pa social media, wala pa phones. It means to personally talk and commune with someone. Not just that, this word also refers to believers offering up evidence to God, telling them that they're innocent because of what they're suffering. It's like, Lord, why is this happening to me? It shows this connection or this intimacy between the believer and God. And what I'm trying to get at here is that moments of weakness, because it keeps us from being conceited, relying on ourselves, we end up all the more relying on God. It draws us closer to God. It allows us to experience His comfort. Kasi if everything is going well, ako na matatala, okay latanan, di ba? We would drift away from God. But in moments of weakness, we realize of our need of a God. We realize how big God is. Realize how important God is for our lives. Remember that song we were singing a while ago, Christ is enough for me. Well, Christ will never be enough for you until that moment you realize that Christ is all you need. Moments of weakness draws us closer to God. Thirdly, moments of weakness allows us to glorify God. This is the most important reason right here. Moments of weakness allows us to glorify God because if we were self-reliant, kisa may glorify nato. Kisa may mag-highlight nato kung believe kita self nato. Kisa man, ourselves, our own abilities, our own skills. It's the equivalent of posting something and liking your own post. Grabe, react pa ka dito itong smiling or heart. How many of you know, maka-cringe na, when you see someone like his or own post, parang gi-high-five na yung self. Ay, high-five, okay, sige. Parang, it's weird, di ba? That's what we do when we're self-reliant. But in moments of weakness, we glorify God. We say, Lord, I need you. You are stronger and bigger than whatever I'm facing. And you are enough, Lord God, to get me through what I'm experiencing. God's design is to make you a showcase for Jesus' power. But not necessarily the way that people would automatically demand it. A way out, an immediate answer, an instant solution. It is by giving strength to endure and even rejoice in moments of tribulation, in moments of hardship. God's grace, church, is sufficient for us. A few more things before I end here. I'm going to end with this story from the book of Genesis. It's the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph. He's a descendant of Abraham, the great-grandson of Abraham. The book of Genesis, it talks about this amazing story of his life. Joseph was born to Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. He was born to a group of several brothers. There were 12 in all. And he was the second youngest. And in that time, in that culture, your order of birth indicates your importance in the family. If you were the eldest, you're the most important child. You're the heir, basically, if you were the eldest. Now, Joseph is the second youngest. So usually, siya ang marag pinaka second etsepuera nga anak. Unyara ka anak. Mas importante itong mga older sons. And yet, Joseph was the favorite of his father. In fact, that cloak na ginawear niya was given to him by his dad. And Joseph also received dreams and visions that one day he would become a great person. That his brothers, his elder brothers, would even bow down before him of his greatness. Now, that's not a problem in itself. The problem was that Joseph was pretty much arrogant about it. He would brag it to his brothers. Kinabang one day, manghaon mo, then he said, Kuya, bulo ba ka? Kidamgo ko, niluhod mo na ako tanan. Ikaw, mga kuya, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay, 12 sila kabungin. Luhod mo na ako tanan, yan ako kamayo. Kita mo ning coat, gika ni Papa, branded ni. Kamu, inyo hawala. Okay. Yan si Joseph. And out of jealousy and spite of his older brothers, one day, his older brothers tried to get rid of him. They tried to kill him at first, but they realized they couldn't gain anything from it, so they tried to sell him off for slavery. Isang muka na sila. Ay, si Joseph, sige, panginambog, sige, post-post, samok, sige, tweet. Sige, OOTD, aning coat niya. So, ato na yung baligya na. So they sold him off to slavery, and to cut the long story short, he ended up as a slave in Egypt because he was framed for a wrong thing he didn't do. For several years, he stayed in prison. Until one day, by God's orchestration, he was let out, he was freed, and he became the second most influential man in Egypt, next to the Pharaoh lang. And then one day, while he was living his new life in Egypt, there was famine throughout the land. And his family, his other brothers, went to Egypt to buy food because everywhere else, na famine. Walay pagkaon, crops were dying. And only Egypt had enough food. So people from all around would go to Egypt to buy food. And so his brothers went to this important man to buy food from the man, not knowing that this man was actually Joseph. And so eventually they met, and to cut the long story short again, the brothers realized that it was Joseph. Joseph revealed himself. Kaya naman mga pang-telesery moment, it's me, okay? Habi ninyo, gipatay ko ninyo, nandito ako, or something like that. Kaya pang-telesery ang life ni Joseph. His brothers were terrified. Parang patay. We tried to get rid of this guy. He's now in a state of influence and position. There's no way he's gonna give us food. He'll kill us. But Joseph's response to his brothers was very interesting. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 20, he says, "As for you, my brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." What Joseph is referring here is that though his brothers meant it for evil to get rid of him, to kill him, to send him off to slavery, God allowed that pain and suffering that Joseph went through to happen, but it was meant for a good. Because he was sent to Egypt as a slave and eventually freed, because of his interventions as well, the people of Egypt were able to prepare for the famine. They had enough food, and because of that, his family could buy food from them and mabuhi ang pamilya niya. What his brothers had meant for evil, God allowed to happen and meant it for good. And so now, a lot of people were saved. If God would have simply removed Joseph from that painful situation, Joseph said, "Lord, kuha na kuha ni, I don't want to be a slave, I don't want to be sold off." God could have taken Joseph out and put him back into his family. But if that happened, I'm not sure if ma save yung family at this moment. I'm not sure if there's other people who would have enough food at this moment. Because of God's sovereignty and wisdom, his omniscience, many people were saved. What the enemy or what people meant for evil, God meant it for good. In other words, church, as I end this, God's grace works through all the painful events of life to accomplish His purpose. Whatever you're experiencing now, whatever moments of weakness, a hardship, natural disaster, illness, away sa pamilya, you're being persecuted or ridiculed of your faith, guess what? God has not forsaken you. His grace is there. It is sufficient. And much like Paul, may we learn to draw upon it. May we learn to find strength in His grace. Because His grace is there and it will transform us, it will work through us, and it will accomplish His purpose. He will get you through that painful moment. And much like Joseph, I pray that we would see what He means good out of this moment of weakness. God's grace is sufficient for us, church.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.